Well, good morning, all. Sun is shining on this lovely May the 3rd, 2020 AD. Broadcasting to you, meeting for worship here on a Sunday, I believe the beginning of week 7 of the coronavirus pandemic. And we're going to call upon Sister Lear. Would you please open us with a word of prayer?
Well, Holy Father, as we look out our windows here where we are, we see sunshine and fresh green buds and lots of signs of spring. Flowers that are opening up, popping out, asparagus pushing up through the dirt, and many other signs of life and living and your perfect design. We're thankful for that. We're thankful that you've blessed us so richly with so much, and that regardless of the things that happen, the things that man does or does not do, illness, health, whatever it may be, we see the seasons come and go with regularity, with order, and we know that that is perfect, and that is perfectly from you, and we're thankful for that with all of our hearts. And today, in this lovely May day, Sunday, we ask, Holy Spirit, that our hearts would be in a state of preparation, in a state of readiness to hear the message that you wish us, that you desire us to hear and apply in our lives. We thank you, Jesus, for all you do for us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. And that's important, as we've just heard in that prayer, that we focus on life. Right now, the whole world is being focused on death, death and sickness. And of course, as we've found out, many police officers and first responders and funeral directors and all these kind of people, that they spend so much time looking at death, or so many doctors and nurses and all that are looking at sickness and death, that it's hard for them to think of life. And that's one of the reasons why it's so important for us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and focus on the life and the healing and the strength that our Lord gives us. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give him praise, and give him praise. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and give him praise, and give him praise. Give glory and honor and power to his name, Jesus, the name above all names. Sing it again a little differently. I come into your presence with thanksgiving in my heart and give you praise, and give you praise. I come into your presence with thanksgiving in my heart and give you praise, and give you praise. Give you honor and glory and power to your name, Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus, your name's above all names. And remember, just because we come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and give him honor and glory to his name, even if we didn't give glory and honor to his name and his presence has the glory and has the honor, whether we give it to him or not. We've got to remember that, because some people in the world, they're not giving the Lord any glory. They're not giving any worship to him. But that doesn't mean that he does not have all power and all glory unto his name and unto his person. Not just his name, but unto his person. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, listen and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand, as the sheep of his hand. I come, I worship, I bow down, and I kneel before the Lord God, my Maker. I come, I worship, and bow down. I kneel before the Lord God, my Maker. For he is my God, and I am a person of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand, just the sheep of his hand. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. For our God is great and greatly to be praised. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. I sing unto my Lord a new song. I sing unto my Lord of the earth. I sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord of the earth. And of course, Lord, just coming out of winter into spring, it's a joy to sing a new song. We're not singing a winter song. We're singing a spring song. Yes, we are. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. A fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. A fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. The heavens declare his righteousness. The people see his glory. For you, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth. Over all the earth. Come on now. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Let the people rejoice and be glad. Oh, yeah. What a message there is in that, isn't there? Let the people rejoice and be glad. Well, yesterday was a pretty exciting day for us. We joined with several hundreds of people. Some standing there, some driving by. at the state capitol in Concord for the Reopen New Hampshire rally, we'll call it, and prayer meeting. I was there to turn it into a prayer meeting. And prayer meeting we did turn it into. It was a peaceful event, although many people actually came with guns. And you never know in a group of people who's who and what's what. But I would definitely say it was a pretty orderly event. We did have a few naysayers, but they didn't last very long. And they didn't throw me off. I mean, I started off, I was the first speaker, and I got to do something in a little under 11 minutes, which those of you that follow us on Facebook can see that video or hear the speech that I gave, or we can send you the print of it, the Word file on it. And I can say, it was a joyous day. It was a beautiful day from an environmental standpoint. The sun was shining. It was a light breeze. It was absolutely wonderful. At a place that I have been over the last 30 years, hundreds of times. Inside, outside, rain, snow, whatever. And I got to deliver the message. As some people might say in the common vernacular, I delivered the payload. The event started with delivering the payload, praying in Jesus' name, citing scripture directly from the Bible, Constitution, heroic people cited. A lot you can do in just a short time, 10 or 11 minutes. As I've gotten older, I've learned how to do that. Well, I hope that you will find that video, find that speech and listen to it. Get it out there amongst other people. It might give some other people courage. And as I said to one pastor yesterday, when one man stands up, he stiffens other men's spines. And that's part of the reason that I stand up for my country, but particularly as I stand up for the Lord in His way. Well, don't be surprised that MIT ridicules critics of technocrat coup d'etat. Oh, you poor, ignorant masses who live in darkness and have so misunderstood science. When will you just shut up and start trusting those who have PhDs and all kinds of important letters after their names? That's a good question. Contact tracing. A panopticon grid of total surveillance. As part of their carefully orchestrated coup d'etat, technocrats have declared war on an unseeable virus. The respective army of foot soldiers is now revealed as contact tracers, who will kickstart the national panopticon grid of total surveillance. Safe distancing, Portland, will ban cars on 100 miles of roads. Portland already hates cars, so what better excuse than safe distancing to ban them from 100 miles of city streets? What are citizens to do? Let them walk or ride bicycles, 6 feet apart, of course. The social distancing police will have a bonanza of new ticketing opportunities. Howman, social distancing is the problem, not the answer. Contact tracers have power to quarantine at their discretion. American Stasi, California, building 10,000-person army of professional snitches. Apple, Google partner for Big Brother tracking platform. Reengineering society, technocrats rule, politicians drool. There you have it from our technocracy today, and you know it's true because it's happening just like that, as we have been saying to people who don't want to believe it, don't want to accept it, and now are having a hard time accepting what's been put right in their face. And for today's quips and quotes, when we are planning for posterity, we ought to remember that virtue is not hereditary. Thomas Paine, 1776. Synodia. Do you know what that means? Postponed business with no date reset. Many legislatures have gone into synodia. They have postponed the legislation or legislature and have not even set a date when they will return. That happened last week in Connecticut. And so the idea is any legislation that's in effect cannot be reversed because the legislature is not in session and you don't know when they're coming back. This is a technique that's used. It's sort of the bait and switch or stall until people get tired out or any of those kind of strategies that are being used against us. In 1518, the German reformer Martin Luther stated in his disputation at Heidelberg, "Grace is given to heal the spiritually sick, not to decorate spiritual heroes." Engel and communism. You may recognize that name. Maybe you don't. But I can tell you that what Engel, Marx, Lenin, and other such were doing in their lifetime has been passed on to us in our lifetime in communism or socialism, and basically I call socialism communism light. They're both like kissing cousins, you might say. And they're upon us big time right now. And obviously regimes in the world, like China, are foisting it because it's not that the people of China are bad people. A lot of good people there and lots of Christians there. But the People's Liberation Army, that's the group that controls the government, the communists, Red Chinese communists, they are going by the playbook of these communist dictators of the past, like Engel. C.S. Lewis, in Mere Christianity in 1952, said, "And if you have taken a wrong turning, then to go forward does not get you any nearer." And that's what we're facing in America today. Now, he said this in 1952. Many times we're quoting C.S. Lewis these days. And Charles Sinclair Lewis, I believe that was his total name, full name, was at one time an atheist, became a Christian, and started like really getting great revelation from the Lord. Many of us quote him frequently. And this was in 1952, as if he was talking about what's happening in America today. And of course he wasn't an American, he lived in England. The cross and the sword. That's an interesting visual, isn't it? Do you know that most swords are made, particularly the older swords, were always made like a cross? The cross and the sword. That's like saying the purse, when we gave up the power of the purse and we gave up the power of the sword with the Dick Act in 1903 and gave up the power of the sword and gave up the power of the purse in 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act. And we're seeing the ramifications of that right now. So don't give up the cross. And don't give up your sword. And by the way, wherever that you are, to some of the people that follow us on Facebook or listen to these broadcasts are not with us worshiping. Some of them are across the country. And maybe some of you would like to be with us where we are, which is our headquarters in New Hampshire. I just would say this to you. Bloom, don't doom. And gloom. Bloom where you are. Don't doom and gloom. And we have a lot of doom and gloom going around these days. You want a great opportunity? Bloom. we've just been seeing our flowers coming out in our garden, in our bushes and so forth, just over the last week or so. It's wonderful to see them blooming. And just actually looking at them will make a gloomy day much brighter. If men through fear, fraud, or mistake should in turn renounce and give up any essential natural right, the eternal law of reason and the great end of society would absolutely vacate such renunciation. The right to freedom being the gift of God Almighty, it is not in the power of man to alienate this gift and voluntarily become a slave. Now, obviously, many people, and that was said by Samuel Adams in 1772, needless to say, I don't draw any ancestry personally that I've found so far from Samuel Adams, but obviously people that I am related to and bloodline knew him, worked with him, stood beside him, and I really like him. And he says some things like that that are truly prophetic and need to be said again today, probably wherever he said it, at Faneuil Hall in Boston or wherever he said it from. He was, of course, at one time also the governor of Massachusetts. And by the way, you could sure use a governor like that in Massachusetts now. He who permits himself to tell a lie once finds it much easier to do it a second time and a third time till at length it becomes habitual. He tells lies without attending to it and truths without the world believing him. Thomas Jefferson, 1785. And our politicians today are doing the very same thing. With reference either to individual or national welfare, agriculture is of primary importance. In proportion as nations advance in populations and other circumstances of maturity, this truth becomes more apparent and renders the civilization of the soil more and more an object of public patronage. George Washington, 1796. Now, George Washington was a farmer. The idea, and I've told people, and I like to see it, I always tell the farmer, you keep farming, and we'll keep eating. And so, it's national security. And as I've often posted on Facebook and made my opinion known, I want to read the labels. I only want to buy food grown in America. We don't need citrus from China. We don't need beef from Namibia. It's hard even to say Namibia. Or from Argentina or from Brazil. We grow great beef right here, even in New Hampshire, all over the country, throughout the Midwest. Beef is something we grow here. We grow pork, for those that eat pork. We grow chickens. We don't need any help from any country in the world, but they need our help to feed them. And by the way, the Chinese cannot even feed themselves. They need us. We don't need them, but they need us. The great Midwestern farmer in particular. The prosperity of commerce is now perceived and acknowledged by all enlisted statesmen to be the most useful as well as the most productive source of national wealth, and accordingly become a primary object of its political cares. Alexander Hamilton, 1787. And by the way, folks, our economy is being destroyed today for a variety of reasons from a variety of different sources. Well, excuse me, the prosperity of commerce is now perceived and acknowledged by all enlightened statesmen to be the most useful as well as the most productive source of national wealth. It's a destruction of our national wealth, what's going on. Laudes, laudes, toujours laudes. All you people that speak French know what that means, right? Well, it was said by Napoleon first, later by General George Patton, meaning audacity, audacity, always audacity. A famous phrase encouraging bold courage in the face of great challenge. Well, I'm telling you, folks, audacity, audacity. And again, I'll say it, always audacity. Now, I'm not saying be rude. I'm not saying be crude. There's a good kind of audacity. Maybe I didn't quite put it in the right tone. I'm audacious. I'm always audacious. I'm audacious for Jesus. I'm audacious for national security of America and constitutional republic of America. I'm always audacious. It's a good thing. Try it. You'll like it. The present constitution is the standard to which we are to cling. Under its banners, bona fide, must we combat our political foes. So when we're fighting this battle today, and as you listen to the speech that I gave yesterday, the Lord fights our battles, I was going to say for us, but he fights our battles with us. He gives us the ammunition, if you will, of his word, and also, of course, the present constitution. People want to change it. They want to do an amendment. I'm telling you, folks, if there's, and I've had to remind people, it sounds like a good idea to put in a 28th Amendment and all this kind of stuff. But if we have a constitutional convention, it will scrap, the people right now will scrap the Constitution and bring in something else more like the Humanist Manifesto or the Communist Manifesto. That's why we cannot have a constitutional convention. My philosophy of life is that if we make up our mind what we are going to make of our lives, then work hard toward that goal. We never lose, somehow we win out. That was said by Ronald Reagan. I like Ronald Reagan. I've always said that. Partly because, as an American, he basically came from nothing. He was actually a veteran in the Second World War. It was in the cavalry. He liked chainsaws. He collected chainsaws at his ranch out in Santa Barbara. And I like chainsaws too. But the man said things that people don't want to say anymore. Think about that. Well, we're going to look at the Bible today. We look at the Bible every day. Not only do we look at it, we actually read it. We open it and read it. Wow, that's really impressive. And I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your copy to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And while you're turning there, I want to mention that yesterday I was unanimously re-elected to be the chaplain of the New Hampshire Society of Sons of the American Revolution. And I want to tell you, folks, I did not skip a beat as chaplain throughout my chaplaincy, and it goes year to year, of proclaiming the name of Jesus and King Jesus and finishing prayers in Jesus' name, even though there are some amongst the organization that probably don't like that, and they could probably vote me out if they wanted to. But as long as I'm there, that's how the chaplaincy will be. So in the fourth chapter of Hebrews, relatively short chapter, I'm going to ask Mrs. Lear if she'd be so kind as to read to for us. She's going to be the reader from the lectern from the pulpit today.
All right, reading from the English Standard Version, Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For the good news came to us, just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us, therefore, strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4 from the English Standard Version.
Thank you, Mrs. Lear. You did a great job. Lovely voice to hear the Word of God that way. Now, obviously, the Word of God is not, if it was the Lord speaking to us directly, his voice is not feminine necessarily, but to be able to hear a woman reading the Word of God, that's comforting, I think. And I'm probably opening myself up to lots of criticism as going into this chapter, because many people, for example, Seventh-day Adventists and Seventh-day Baptists and those that are Seventh-day people, the seventh day obviously is Saturday. But rather than get into that, because that's not the focus of what I want to share with you today, I will say just briefly, the chapter actually contains something that somehow many seem to miss. Jesus is our Sabbath. He is Lord Sabaoth. Remember that. And so when we see what's going on in our country right now and throughout the world is definitely very much in turmoil and not much rest. So the question might be, where's the rest? Where is the rest? And I ask it as a question because you may be somebody right now that doesn't feel very rested. somebody said to me in a dream, actually. I saw in a dream where a woman said to me, "Why are you so happy? Why do you have such a joyous look on your face?" I said, "Because Jesus is my Lord and I love him. And I have the joy of the Lord as my strength." Am I talking Bible to you people? I hope somebody can say amen. Yes, he is. Pastor Lear, you're talking Bible to me. Well, just remember, Pastor Lear talks Bible to you not because he's Pastor Lear. Pastor Garrett Lear, the Patriot Pastor, talks Bible to you because he's Garrett Lear, the born-again Christian, filled with the Spirit of God, who believes the Word of God as it is and is glad to take it full strength. Now, some people, when they use whatever they're going to use, they have to mix it and dilute it. Well, I don't believe in diluting the Word of God. I'll help somebody to understand it, but I don't believe in diluting it. There are many verses here in this short chapter worth noting with your highlighter or what you do. In verse 2, for example, "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, 'As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.'" Now, we might look at that and say, you mean God the Father was upset. He was angry. And his anger, he said, you know what? That group of people with their hardened hearts that have been told and told and told and don't seem to listen, and don't want to join together with people who have listened, who know what they're talking about, well, they shall not enter my rest. But God, our Heavenly Father, is never unrighteous. If he had wrath, it was, if you'll pardon the expression just for simplicity's sake, righteous indignation. And why shouldn't he be? All of us as fathers or parents have had to say to our children, look, I've told you. You're taking up with the wrong people. You're hearing bad stuff and it's getting you into trouble. You got to stop that. I've got to put a stop to that. So why is it so surprising that the Lord wants to put a stop to those people who are conflicting with God's people who want to listen, who have a heart to believe the Lord, that are confusing them and distracting them? And I feel the same way about government that is aligning itself with communist principles, socialist principles, fascist principles, or whatever, especially in America. And once again, the Lord has said, they shall not enter my rest. Well, I'll tell you what, if anything doesn't scare you straight, how about that? You won't be able to enter into the rest of the Lord. It's like saying, okay, it's freezing cold out. You're walking along the highway. You see a motel. And you go knock on the door of the motel and they say, no, you can't come in here. You're not going to rest here. Go sleep in a snowbank. That would seem pretty harsh, wouldn't it? No, it seems pretty harsh for the Lord to say you won't enter into my rest. But when I see how many Christians have been conflicted by taking in amongst them people who really don't believe, who really don't do the things the Lord wants them to do. And that's why the Bible prescribes what we do with rebels. And when I talk about rebels, I'm not talking about, many people could be deemed rebels I suppose I'm a rebel because I want to follow the word of God in a society that wants to go humanist or communist or whatever. But what's the exhortation that the Lord gives us here? Today. Not tomorrow. Today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now some people say, well, I didn't hear his voice. Okay, well, if you didn't hear his voice, then I guess you're going to have to clean your ears out a little bit. And maybe you didn't harden your heart because you haven't heard his voice. So we need to help you to listen. There are people that come to me and say, how come I never hear the Lord's voice? And I'll ask them, well, when's the last time you opened the Bible and started to read God's word? If you open the Bible and read God's word, he's the author of the Bible. It's like saying, okay, you meet an author and you say, hey, I read your book. What's the first thing that author is going to say to you? And I've had it said, well, what part of your book did you like that I wrote that you did you like? And then you say, well, I liked it all. Yeah, but what part in specific? Well, you know, that chapter. What chapter? Chapter 25. Oh, but my book only had 20 chapters. So in other words, you really didn't read my book. Why didn't you just say, I haven't read it, but I'm going to read it, or I'd like to read it, but to say you've read it, then the author says to you, well, prove it. So for us, the Lord is saying, did you read my book? And he said, oh, of course I did. Okay, well, tell me what part you liked. What part of it did you like best? And of course, many people would be upset right then and embarrassed. And when people are embarrassed, they're ashamed and they're afraid, and then they harden their hearts. So as we look at towards the end of the chapter, let us therefore strive. Remember I mentioned about audacity in my quips and quotes? Well, audacity in this particular case would also be a corollary of strive. In the song that I like so much, I will not be denied, I will not be denied. I remember preaching in Streeter, Illinois, in the Lighthouseville Gospel Church in Streeter, with my dear friend, Pastor Jim Eplin. And in one of the meetings, I just started singing that. I said, okay, folks, let's sing that. And think about all the things you believe and that you've wanted to achieve, that you believe the Lord wants you to have, and the enemy in the world has tried to keep you from getting. And let's just keep singing that song. We must have sang it through, I don't know, at least a dozen times or more. In every round, so to speak, we sang it through. We sang it more powerfully. And got to the point of, I will not be denied. I will not be denied. Till Jesus comes and makes me whole, I will not be denied. Well, as an American, more importantly, as a Christian, part of what I said in my speech yesterday, I'm here. My God-given right to petition my government for a redress of grievance. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall. By the same sort of disobedience. Oh, disobedience. I hope I'm not being disobedient, Lord. Oh, Abba. Daddy, I hope I'm not being disobedient. My whole heart's desire. I don't have a hard heart. My whole desire, Abba Father, is to be totally obedient to your will, to your way, to what you want. I have total trust that anything you want of me has got to be good. I don't have that trust of the government. I don't have that trust of business. I don't have that trust of... I don't even trust myself that way. But I do trust that anything the Lord wants for me is the best. So where is the rest? Some of you are saying, but I don't feel very rested. Where is the rest? Well, I hope you've been paying attention here. I hope you're not too poor to pay attention. Even though if the government has a way, we'll all be poor and with a tin cup along the side of the road begging government to give us a piece of bread. But I don't think so. Because Jesus Christ is Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I told somebody earlier today, you can send somebody to me, and I'm old enough, wise enough, and I have no ulterior motive or any particular agenda other than wanting to glorify Christ. And I can scan them. That's sort of the Holy Spirit scan. The way the Holy Spirit can scan us. He doesn't need an MRI. He doesn't need a CAT scan or a PET scan or X-rays or any of that. But he can scan us. That's why this passage of scripture there, two-edged sword piercing the division of soul and of spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. I've had to say to some people, I don't have to account to you. And like I've heard little kids say, you're not the boss of me. As I said yesterday, we are the government in America. We the people are the government in America. Remember? The enumerated powers of the 10th Amendment? We are the government in America. I don't have to give account to government. Government needs to give an account to me. And the Lord doesn't have to account to me. I have to account to him. Why? Because first of all, his eyes are never clouded. So where is the rest? The rest is in the very things we've been talking about here. In this chapter of Scripture. If you want Holy Spirit rest, you want joyous joy in the Lord, that's your strength. That's how you got to get it. Now some people say, well, that's great for you, but for me, I don't have the time for it. Well, then I guess you're not going to really get rest. And rest is not being able to lay in bed for 8 hours and make sure you didn't wake up. Most of us at my age, that's virtual impossibility. And I don't need to get into anything too personal. Yeah, but most of us know that a good night's sleep is not necessarily just because for 8 solid hours your eyes didn't open or whatever else. A good rest only can come in the Lord. So where is the rest? The rest is in the presence of the Lord, serving him joyfully, gladly, without restraint. And don't say it can't be done, because then I'll have to tell you, I could say, well, it's happened for me. And I know lots of other people that's having poor, but that's not even valid, as valid. It's my testimony. But the most valid point is, don't say there is no rest. Where is the rest? Because the Lord has told you how to have it right here in His Word. Right here, right now. Let's pray. God, our Father, there's a lot of unrest in the world. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of turmoil. We know that. We don't want to be part of that. We want to be part of the solution. We want to be peacekeepers. We don't work for the UN. We work for the one who owns it all, who created it all. We work for you. And so to be a peacekeeper or a peacemaker and be a promise keeper, those can be all names of organizations, but they're actually behaviors that you want from us, and it starts with us coming to peace with you. That our hearts are in your hands, and in many cases they have to be open, cracked open like a coconut, because they're too hard. So Lord, continue to soften our hearts, keep them soft, and we can respond to you and be thankful to answer the question, where is the rest? The rest is at the Lord's throne of grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.